We took a look at that hallmark passage in Matthew chapter 28. Tonight, just quickly, let's just cruise through here. And these things are for each of us who are members of Olmsted Baptist Church, not to just know that they're in the Scripture, but to be able to give a good answer about why we're a member at Olmsted Baptist Church and what the Lord has given us to do and pursue. You and I, we meet people from time to time. There's different ideas about what a church is for and organizations that people think are churches. But this is at the heart of what our directive is from our Lord. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, "And he said unto them," that is Jesus, "go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And so preaching that gospel, it's the beginning in Matthew 28. It said, "teach all nations," and this gives us clarity about what to teach. In Luke chapter 24, these are good passages to chain together in your Bible, make references, cross-references to them. In Luke chapter 24, verse number 47, "and that repentance and the remission of sins," that is repentance of sins before God, as it tells us in Acts, "and remission," that is payment of sins, "should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." Also in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, so we see this declaration in each of the Gospels, and when we see that emphasis in a number of books, or in this case in the Gospels, we know it is a very, very important thing. It says here, after the Lord's resurrection, he appears unto his church, and John 20:21, "then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So it is the Lord that has sent his churches, sent his people to do this work in the institution of his New Testament church. In Acts chapter 1, again, the Lord tells here to this first church, direct instruction to them, and in verse number 8, "but ye shall receive power," and that is particular to them at this time, "after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so we see the reach that the churches, the Lord's churches have, here near and local, a little farther out, a little farther out, even having part in works that go around the world. Even into the book of the Revelation, our Lord giving some words here, and it's interesting how this is worded, and we see this continued directive here to go and to tell the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says here in Revelation 22, verse number 17. And of course, John writing and the Spirit of God inspiring him, and the Spirit and the bride say, "come." The Spirit of God, right? The Spirit, one of the Trinity, God's Spirit, and the bride. Who's the bride? Well, it's his churches. We understand that from other passages in the Scriptures, that the Lord's churches are his bride, will make up his bride. We're given to understand some details about that. Others were not super clear about, but we can understand that that is the case. That's the terminology that is used. And the Spirit and the bride say, "come." You know, how is it that the bride says, "come"? Well, by the Spirit within. Come. And what is that? Come unto the Lord. Come unto the bread of life. Come unto the fountain of life. Come unto Jesus Christ. And let him that heareth, and that is his people, hearing the word of the Lord, say, "come." See, that's the witness that we have. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ unto sinners, relying solely upon the Lord and the power of the Spirit of God, that he will take that good work and make it effectual indeed. And he's promised that he will. And let us be reminded of what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 along this line. This is an excellent an excellent thought and an excellent thing that we need to have always affirmed in our hearts as the Lord's children in His church here at Olmsted Baptist Church. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast in what? What Jesus has told us to do. What Jesus has commanded us to pursue. Be ye steadfast. Be unmovable. Doesn't it say that we need to do all, having done all, to stand, right, in the book of Ephesians? And to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, that means a whole bunch of it, in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor in that work is not in vain in the Lord. What we pursue and what we do in obedience to the commission that the Lord has given us here at Olmsted Baptist Church is not an empty thing. And may our Lord help us to be about the doing of it. Personal witness, family witness, church witness, near and far, may we be a witness and testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. Quickly this evening, we want to touch on this, and here recently, I think Brother Mark has touched on some of these subjects, and then we've touched on them at other times too, is the Lord has given two ordinances to His churches, two ordinances given to that first church that they passed on down to us, to the Lord's churches, that picture and memorialize the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting how we learn. And the Lord takes His Word, and He takes us as we fellowship around the Word of the Lord. And you know what? I knew and understood about the ordinances of the Lord and that the Lord had given to His churches, these two ordinances. But I just didn't understand about this, and I knew the details and the facts about them. But the Lord, when I first came here, I was thinking about this, Brother Mark, the Lord used you to make that clear to me about the testimony of these ordinances of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Had never put it together to understand it and say it that way. I knew what they represented, but that's what the Lord does for us. As we fellowship and as we commune with our Lord, His Word, and one another, we can learn and be taught. Do you have questions about the Word of God? Are you thirsty and hungry? May we be. And the Lord will help us and use one another to teach these wonderful things. And so, two ordinances that the churches of the Lord have that picture and memorialize His gospel. First, and let's look here in 1 Corinthians 11, a few pages over. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And of course, we're commanded here, and the apostle, the Lord writes through the apostle, in verse number 2 of this chapter, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances." Not avoid the ordinances, but keep them. We need to keep them. And we say that we need to guard and observe them. We need to guard them. And in this chapter, in chapter 11, in verse number 23, the apostle passes on what he received. And what's he say in verse 23? "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said," he took that bread from the observance of the Passover, he said, "take, eat," to his church, not to everybody in Jerusalem, not to any visitors that were there. There weren't any visitors there. It was the church in the upper room. It was a private affair for that local church. "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Not a sacrament, not a completion of salvation, not a keeping of salvation, but to remember, and a token and a telling of how that individual has personally... See, the pastor doesn't observe the Lord's Supper for the church, but every member observes it, and we do so as a body. See, we do so individually, but we do so collectively. And we say, we've partaken of Christ. We've partaken of Christ. "This do in remembrance of me." It's a token of that. "After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped," when he had drunk from that cup, He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. So we have that Lord's Supper that memorializes the death of our Lord. And then we read in Matthew 28 again, Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19, Matthew 28, verse number 19, we have the way the Lord said to baptize, the other ordinance, Lord's Supper and to baptize. He says in verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. In the name of the Trinity, we baptize. And just as John came, and those that testified that they had repented of their sins before God, had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that John preached, even John, a man sent from God to baptize, as he baptized, what did he do? He showed the dying of the Lord and the burying of the Lord. You don't bury a live body. And then he showed the resurrection of the Lord. Even before that, those particulars of the gospel were preached, John was showing that in that baptism that he administered. And of course, the Lord went and was baptized by John, we know. And John said it shouldn't be that way. And the Lord Jesus said that's the way righteousness will be fulfilled. And so the Lord Jesus was baptized, and then we see in John chapter 3, John chapter 4, the Lord having directed the brethren in the church to do that baptizing, the church baptizing believers that came on after that. And so so we see these two ordinances. Next, the church is to be financed, not by the world, but by the membership. That's always the design of the world. I mean, of the Lord. The world would say, do some things otherwise. Have some bake sales. Have some car washes. Have some this. Have some that or the other. Listen, this is a serious business that we've been called to be a member of one of the Lord's churches. Were other nations to finance Israel? By no means. Are others to finance our own houses and homes? No. We're to work, and therefore by that we eat. And so it is with our own, this institution that the Lord has placed us in. He's got a design. Malachi chapter 3, let's take a look here. Interesting, this is in the last chapter of the end, of the Old Testament, right? And here's what the Lord is speaking in chapter 4, the next to the last chapter, about what he's going to do with sending John the Baptist. And in here in Malachi chapter 3, he's chiding Israel and just declaring what's been established from the beginning. Now, there are those that take up the position, and we all have to go to the Word of God and understand for ourselves. But there are those that take up the position that in the New Testament time, in the church age, tithing is past. Because why? Because Jesus never said anything about it. Well, the thing is, Jesus didn't say anything about it because it's understood from the beginning. That's the reason he didn't say anything about it. Well, maybe he did say. He said, ye tithe all manner of anise and cumin, the herbs. He said, you tithe all that little stuff up and you divide it down to the tenth. When he's talking to the Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, lawyers and that. He said, but you leave off the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and the love of God and that. He said, these ought ye to have done. You should be tithing out of your herb garden, he said, and not leave the other undone, the weightier. And so the reason that the Lord doesn't speak about it is because it's just a standard thing. The Lord is owed his due. Bring ye, Malachi 3, verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Did the Lord quit desiring that there be meat in his house, a provision in his house? No, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And so the Lord leaves off, I think, in the Old Testament with this reminder. And let's see about this quickly. And we've touched on this in recent times, but let's just go right through it quickly. Where is the Lord's house today? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. 1 Peter 2, chapter 5. Where's the Lord's storehouse? Where's the Lord's house today? In 1 Peter 2, verse number 5, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. The Lord's churches are His houses and will be collected one day to be His spiritual house in that way. And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The Lord has put the keys of the kingdom in a different institution, not His nation, but His churches, His church, that institutional reference of the church, and His churches are His house. 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Well, where's that at? It's His churches. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Brother Mark touched on it recently. The example we have of the father of faith is that of Abraham. And Brother Abraham tithed before there was any nation, any law, anything like that, because that's just understood the way it is with men. In Ephesians 2:21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up into a holy temple in the Lord. All right? A holy temple, fitly framed, building are the references, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. We've touched on this here recently. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself, Brother Timothy, and those that you pastor and teach, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So the way the Lord's churches are financed is by tithing and by offerings. Yes, you and I are to give an offering above the tithe. And the thing is we don't have anyone fill out pledge cards, commitment cards. The pastor does not know who gives what. The pastor only knows what he does. Brother Mark has been elected the treasurer of the church, and our brother is the only one that knows who it is, who contributes what, if you want it to be known by virtue of the way that you contribute. And that's it. Then the Lord. Because it is a voluntary thing. It is not a mandatory thing. We don't take a pledge from everybody of what they're going to plan, what they plan to give in the coming year to determine our budget. We just go on what was given and an outlook expecting that that would be given, and then trust the Lord and look to the Lord, look to be a good steward in the meantime as a church, and then go on. We're not to compel the world to support this work. You and I have been called to this work. And praise the Lord for the conviction that the Lord has given to the membership here. I'm thankful for it. And so then we just want to take a look, the church, the Lord's church and me, the Lord's church and me. We've learned some things about the Lord's kind of church in our studies, and we see here that the Lord's design is for those that are born again by the Lord to join one of His New Testament Baptist churches. In Acts chapter 2, we'll just be reminded of these passages and look to these. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 47, and praising God and having favor with all the people, the brethren, the brothers and sisters there, and it tells here from verse 41 things that they pursued. We'll touch on some of those. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's what the Lord is doing. That's what the Lord commands. That's the Lord's design. And yet no one is physically compelled by anyone in the church to obey the Lord. Baptists have always taken a position, and the Lord's people, the Lord's churches have always taken a position of freedom of the mind. To preach the good word of God, and as we read, that labor and that work is not in vain, because the Lord will convict. And I tell you what, when the Lord convicts, we have a blessing at hand, don't we? Have a blessing from the Lord and a blessing for the obedient. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18, we read here, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him." Sometimes the Lord doesn't set, but there are others that set. It happens. We see warning in the Scripture about that. And that's what we say here at Olmsted Baptist Church. If the Lord wants somebody here, we want them here. And if the Lord doesn't want them here, we don't want them here. And if the Lord doesn't want me here, I don't need to be here. That's just what, but the Lord wants me here. This is where I need to be. Okay? And so that's what we look. We look to the directive and obedience of the Lord. His design is that sinners saved join one of His churches for it's His design and His purpose for the furtherance of the gospel, for fellowship, for strength, for learning, and help one with another. Our good Lord has a wonderful design. So join His church is what those who are saved should do. Second is to love it. Love it like the Lord Jesus loved it. And that's what you and I, we need to value our church membership. We need to not be willy-nilly, blasé, kind of so-so, yeah, so-so, no. Don't ever refer to your church as, well, they down there and the preacher down there. No, I tell you what, if you're a member of Olmsted Baptist Church, it's not what you all are doing is the reference, but the reference is what we all are doing. We've been joined together by the Lord, and may we operate and behave like it. Not the pastor down there, not them down there, but if you're a member, it's us. We're in this together. And may our Lord help us that we take that part that He's made for us. Ephesians 5:25, here's the opinion of the Lord regarding His churches. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. The example of our Lord is He gave Himself for His church. You know what? We need to give of ourselves for our church. I've declared this before, and it is so. We need one another. And there are times that we need the help. We need the nourishment. We need the care, the compassion, the support of our church. But may God help us that it not just be one way. There are those that are tempted to where they're just on the receiving end of what the church can do for them. And may that not be the case with any of us. You know, we need to give also. And when we're talking about giving, I tell you what, it is a principle that we need to give of the blessing and the abundance, the provision of our Lord that He gives us. We need to give of that. But I tell you what, that's just starting place. We've seen, and I've seen just in the time that I've pastored, that the sum that give, that they think when they give and they declare maybe what they give and how much they give and all that, that they've arrived. I tell you what, giving of the stuff of life is just getting started. Because as our Lord Jesus said, the giving of self is where it's really at. Because that's what the Lord did, is He poured out Himself. And so we need to give to our church of ourselves. Not just talk about it, but do so. Do you help out in what you can help out in? You're at the services tonight. I praise the Lord for you. I'm preaching to the choir in that regard. Is there something that you can do that you're not doing? Do so. I tell you what, sometimes life gets busy. We've had busy life here lately. So many that are having surgeries and procedures, injuries, different things are dealing with. I mean, a family has not been touched for the last handful of months with something. Sometimes we just need help and support and prayer. It's that way. But then when we've got a choice, when things let up and things get free and things get good, we need to give. We need to do what we can. There's something for all of us to do, and we need to do so. Love His church. Join it, love it, and then support it in this way. Hebrews chapter 10, and again, you're here tonight. I can't do it, but I have often thought about sometime during services going and visiting somebody. Wouldn't that be something during services for the pastor to show up at your house if you've been goofing off and not being in the services? If I can't do that, I got to be here. I get to be here. I'm glad to be here. But wouldn't that be something? Boy, that would be a shock if you really are goofing off and the pastor show up at your door at 7:05 on Wednesday. Boy, I'll probably not do that. Anyway, what's it say here in Hebrews 10:25? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Verse number 22, we need to draw near. Verse number 23, we need to hold fast. Verse number 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And we cannot do that if we're not around one another. And we need to be around one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. May it not be the case with us, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, the day of meeting. I think that that can be applied that way. Wednesday's coming up, certainly Sunday's coming up. Or see the day approaching of our Lord coming back. We're going to come to a time that we're going to run out of time to be able to be in the Lord's services. Our time to fulfill the Great Commission will be past. And may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us in that. Support His church. Be in the services. I thank you and am glad that you're here tonight. Back in Acts chapter 2, next we want to see about this. We need to value the church. I tell you what, it would do us well to put ourselves in the shoes of our brethren back in this day. The Jews, as it is with people and different nations, tribes, families, our tendency as human beings is to be cliquish. That is our tendency, is to be cliquish. We love our own first. We love those that are close first. We prefer those that are near and that we're familiar with first. That's the way it is with us naturally. And can you imagine the Jews that went away from Judaism and declared that this one that came meek and lowly from Galilee and came down here and did all that he did, preached all that he preached, and then ended up on a cross and died, was buried, that these declared that he rose from the dead and they are following him and they're not going to the temple to sacrifice. They're not appearing before the Lord, the men, two or three times a year. They're not going to do those other things that they were commanded to do because Jesus fulfilled it all. Can you imagine? And it's hard for us to do so, but let us stretch to imagine what their families that were unbelieving did to them. They write them off as dead. That's known. And the Jews are not the only ones that do it. There are others that are known for doing that. Those that go away from Judaism, of their own children, of their own family, would be dead to them. They would actually, there are some, it's told, that we'll even have a funeral service for them. They needed one another, didn't they? They needed one another. And I tell you what, they valued what the Lord gave them. Verse number 41 of Acts chapter 2, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine that? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And what was the apostles' doctrine? The doctrine of Jesus. They had accompanied with Him the whole time of His ministry. Even Matthias, the replacement for Judas, did so. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine, and they continued in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, if I understand that right here in verse number 42, this is talking about that of the breaking of bread. Here could be a reference to that of the Lord's Supper, and then here It tells about them having all things common for that necessity. Verse number 45, they sold their possessions and their goods so everybody could have their need filled. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They fellowshipped around food. You know, you got to like people to eat with them. You got to like people to willingly eat with them. Because there's no greater, no closer fellowship that folks can have, pardon me, than to dine together. That is the way it is. And so they valued what they had. We see here that they continued in the apostles' doctrine. In Ephesians chapter 4, and quickly let's take a look here. They continued in this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, and he, that is the Lord Jesus, gave some apostles and prophets and so on. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what they were doing that, and they valued what the Lord had provided for them. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're getting ready to embark into 1 Timothy on Sunday afternoons the ministry of a pastor and a minister of the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6, he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. That's what the apostles were doing there with the first church. That's what the first church was cleaving to, that doctrine and that teaching. These 3,000 that were saved now had the Spirit of God living within, and they tell us what the Word of God says. Tell us what our Lord commands us. Tell us how we should follow Him. In 2 Peter chapter 3 also, we see this from the minister's standpoint. And in that, we see a picture of those that are the Lord's. Verse number 2 of 2 Peter chapter 3, that you may be mindful of the words that were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. They taught and they valued what they were taught indeed. In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3, Brother John writing, the Apostle John, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, and that's what he's been doing all along, since he was chosen as an apostle of the Lord, and the Lord ascended back to heaven, that ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship one with another, and fellowship with our Lord. We need to value our church, the doctrine, the teaching, the fellowship that we have indeed. And as we read back in Acts chapter 2, even that breaking of bread. Now, the arrangement for some years for us has been, and I enjoy it, I'm glad for it, is we eat lunch together on Sunday. I know it makes for a long day. And I know that we get tired because we're here for such a long time. But I tell you what, don't you enjoy the fellowship that we have one with another? It's good. I tell you what, it's a great break from the way of the world and the rat race of the world and all that. You know what? Here we come together, and here we can trust one another, don't we? We don't have to worry about foul mouths and bad stories and things like that. We know that everybody has a concern and looking to be a help one to another, an encouragement, an exhorter. We know that we can learn, and we talk and discuss about the Word of God, or have questions about the Word of God, that we can be a help one to another, and that the Lord is going to help us by His Spirit to understand and to apply His Word. Our Lord is good to us. One day, as we recently saw in the Scriptures on Sunday, and referred to it, one day we're all going to sit down at the table. And we're going to dine with our Lord. Well, that's going to be a big table, isn't it? But you know what? It'll be just like everybody sitting by the Lord. How can that be? I tell you what, we're talking about our Lord. And you know what? We'll never leave. We'll never go home. Because we'll be home. Brothers and sisters, Olmsted Baptist Church and the Lord putting us in Olmsted Baptist Church is a taste of that. And may we value it indeed. Lastly, in Acts chapter 4, this, and may we be known as a people of prayer. In Acts chapter 4, verse number 23, and being let go, they went to their own company after that they had been persecuted for their stand to preach Christ, their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them to stop it. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? They're resting and riling up at the truth of the Savior and the truth of God's word regarding sinners, their need of a Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ being the Savior. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together against him, all of them, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. You were in control the whole time. You know what they're praying? In this case, they've engaged this just like the Lord said that they would engage the world, their own countrymen, and they've been reviled and persecuted because of it, and Jesus told them in advance it would happen, and now they said, that's just like what Jesus said. And you know what? They come into prayer and to the Lord, not complaining, but declaring that what the Lord has done is true. They're worshiping the Lord. They're worshiping our God, our Savior, by declaring what has happened and reiterating, telling it once again what the Lord said He would do, what He's done, and the way that it is. You see that? And now, Lord, now they ask for themselves, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, there's not going to be a shaking, but I tell you what, we can have a filling to speak that word of God with boldness. And I tell you what, we need to be a petitioning, praying people to our Lord. The Lord hears all that all men say. But I tell you what, He's interested in what His children and what His churches pray. Because what's He promised? He'll never leave us or forsake us, and He's promised He'll be here in the midst of us. He's promised a special unction of the Holy Spirit in His churches to help us, lead us, guide us, direct us, teach us in every way. And may we avail ourselves to it. May we value what our Lord has done for us and putting us in one of His churches. Join it, love it, support it, value it, and pray. Fellowship and pray. May our Lord help and bless in these things.